From Miami Law, I'm Annette Uguez, and this is The Explainer.
Now, all this is being pushed by the United States and the international community the same way they've done it for 200 years. They're creating the same problems that have existed for 200 years. And remember, the fear, and everybody asks me this question, what's the U.S. interest in Haiti?
Welcome back to the Miami Law Explainer, the legal affairs podcast where Miami law experts lend context and historical relevance to today's headlines. As the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere prepares for a transitional government, violence is spreading to wealthier enclaves, where bodies riddled with bullets lay in the street. Haiti expert Erwin Stotsky, author of three books on Haiti, discusses the chaos. Let's go to executive producer Catherine Skip with the interview.
Good morning, Erwin.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Kind of a sad subject. So what's the state of Port-au-Prince, Haiti right now?
Well, the gangs have control of parts of the city, although they've receded from the Bay Area and from the airport to some extent, because they were given some of the things that they were interested in during the meeting of the seven countries in Jamaica. They're going to be part of whatever solution occurs in Haiti. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, it's a strange place. The gangs have always had relationships with the entrepreneurs, the elite class, mm-hmm. with the government officials. And part of this is an ongoing, negotiation with those people so that the gangs can go back to their murdering and kidnapping and not trying to control the country. Remember, 3,000 police officers left. And so part of the plan, which is opposed by most of the Haitians, is to have Kenyan soldiers come in. Remember, the UN did not approve that as a peacekeeping UN force. Mm-hmm. They approved it, but they want to keep their hands off. And the reason is, if the soldiers come over and they want to try to get some of the gang members, they will have to go into the most difficult areas of the city in which the population is overcompensated, let me put it that way. And they'll have to shoot a lot of people, mm-hmm. which is what happened several times with peacekeeping forces. The UN doesn't want to be seen as part of that. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of a horrible solution, to be honest with you. I think they'll be able to protect the airport and maybe the shipping areas. Mm-hmm. But if they're going to try to push the gangs out of power completely, they're going to kill a lot of innocent people, mm-hmm. which would be a horror show.
Right. Well, even this past week, the gangs have, yes, come away from the other places, but they're in the like fancier neighborhoods and they're evidently.
Yeah, I think that's probably everywhere. Also another negotiation technique by the gangs. Now, you know, one of the leaders of the gang, Guy Philippe, who was convicted of all kinds of crimes and was the force behind an overthrow of Aristide in 2004, mm-hmm. And is involved in all kinds of major drug issues and has ties with Henry and Moise and all that. He got some of what he wanted of that negotiation from what people tell me. So he's got an alliance with the current government. By the way, Henry has not stepped down. Mm-hmm. He said he would step down when there's a transitional government.
Right.
A transitional council for elections and then a transitional government. Well, it's going to take quite a while for that to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, all this is being pushed by the United States and the international community the same way they've done it for 200 years. They're creating the same problems that have existed for 200 years. And remember, the fear, and everybody asks me this question, what's the U.S. interest in Haiti? And believe it or not, it's an historical fear. Remember, the French required the Haitians to be recognized for independence after they defeated the strongest army in the world, the French army. They sent warships and demanded reparations, mm-hmm. which were not paid off. And then they demanded them to take the loans out from French banks with incredible interest rates, et cetera. And then Wall Street, when the U.S. took over in 1915, took over their foreign debt, so mm-hmm. to speak, made them take loans out, made $1 zillion on that. Haitians are not too high on foreign intervention for good reasons. And there are a lot of Haitians who can be involved in transition, not just the ones that they suggested, because they're the same old groups who've run this for 200 years. Mm-hmm. So if you talk to different people in Haiti, and if you know anything about it, the only way Haiti is going to have a chance to move toward from authoritarianism to democracy is to depend on the people of Haiti. There are all kinds of civil groups, you know, who have ideas, who are smart, who should be involved in this, who are being excluded again. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to get the same problem over again.
Right.
So to me, it's extremely frustrating and people are going to die for nothing. Mm.
So what can be done to quell the violence?
Well, they have to be the gangs have to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The entrepreneurs have to be part of it. And so do the people of Haiti mm-hmm. from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you know, people think, oh, the Haitians can't do anything. They're quite capable. And number one, and number two, the only way to get people involved in Haiti to create a democracy is to trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the U.S. doesn't want anything to do with it. Remember that the elite and people like Guy Philippe have had ties with our security forces forever.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the CIA stuff.
Right.
That includes France, mm-hmm. et cetera. Canada has been a little more open to having some ground up groups take part of it. And so, I mean, if you talk to the people of Haiti, they want a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about 95% of them.
Right.
And the 5% who control Haiti, they're happy. I mean, can you imagine being a billionaire in Haiti? There's several of them. How could they become billionaires? Well, they raped the people.
Mm-hmm.
Of all, you know, all aspects, their electrical powers, their cement companies. And these are people who are highly educated. They send their kids off to fancy schools in the United States mm-hmm. and Britain. And they look at their own people as if they are less than human. I mean, it's really an amazing circumstance. You have to see it to believe it.
Uh-huh. So given the level of disruption that's going on now, how could a transitional government be successful?
Well, you have to include all these different
all
parties.
Bits.
Yeah.
Right.
And I know the
but
gangs.
But with outside people, I mean, with this group that met in Jamaica,
well,
or
not
it's got to be 100%.
Some of them have to be part of it because they have power.
Right.
But there also has to be a lot more input from the Haitian people themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's not going to be successful. Remember, some of the gangs have followings in the communities themselves, although most people are not too happy about the gangs stealing all of their money. So, by the way, this is historical.
Mm-hmm.
They've had these kinds of gangs forever. They were known as the Tantan Makuts.
I was going to ask if that all grew out
of
that.
Yeah, they're the same groups.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that the elite use them for their own purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to some extent, the gangs are trying to use the elites to get some more of what they want.
Right.
So it's, you know, when you play with fire, you get burned.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So we talked a little about outside intervention, like bringing in the Kenyan army. Is there a way to quickly quell things without bringing in?
Probably not. But you got to remember the Haitian people hate outside intervention.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that side of it. You know, the gangs have power now. They have the weapons. They can kill people. And if they don't get some of the things that they want, this will continue.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be part of it because they have the power.
Right.
Not that anybody wants them to be part of it, except even the elite members of the community are frightened. As you said, you know, bodies are appearing in the prominent neighborhoods of Haiti, in Paytonville in particular.
So one of the first salvos maybe in this latest uprising was emptying the prisons, right?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming.
But a lot of the people in the prisons weren't part of the gangs either. They were arrested for political purposes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you because I investigated human rights abuses that had taken place when Aristide was overthrown in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came back, I spent several years investigating the human rights abuses. And I was in the prisons every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can just tell you it's a nightmare. The prison system is a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Is it as full? I mean, from what you're saying and what little I know about it, everything's corrupt. Everything is.
Well, I mean, when I was working there, there were in 8x11 cells, 30 people, and they had to stand up because there was no place to lay down. And they would create a little space so everybody got an hour's sleep. Mm-hmm. But 75% of them died within the first year because mm-hmm. of disease. Mm-hmm. It's a little better than that, but not too much.
People are going hungry.
Yeah. There has to be food brought in from the international community. But think of the policies that we had. When Clinton was president, he raised the tariffs so substantially on the rice industry. Mm-hmm. And they, in Haiti, they grew enough rice to feed all their own people. Mm-hmm. It collapsed. The rice industry collapsed because he was trying to protect these people in Arkansas and other places. Mm-hmm. And so they had to import rice and pay for it. I mean, that's just one of the policies that that has occurred. When you want to know is why is the landscape totally destroyed? Part of it is because what the international community does with their policies. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to eat, you know, and then so they kept planting crops and stuff until they destroyed the topsoil and they couldn't grow anything else. Mm-hmm. There are some areas in which you can keep planting crops and all that stuff, but it's a mess.
Most of all this is caused
by the international community.
Right.
Also, obviously, the population is huge. Now, there are 11.5 million people in Haiti. And, you know, I think there are close to 3 million in Port-au-Prince, mm-hmm. a city that can house 250,000 people. So if you go there, when you see people walking around 24/7, there's no place to even lay down. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so I think part of what can be done by the international community is to help them with food, with medical care, and that kind of subsistence. Mm-hmm. Remember, Partners in Health built hospitals there. Paul Farmer spent 25 years in the middle of Haiti helping out. So there are international groups that are helpful.
Right.
But just as Paul said, you've got to train Haitians to take over their own country. You can't do it for them.
Right. And I assume a lot of those kinds of programs have collapsed in the last couple of weeks. Yes. As Americans, everybody else is trying to get out of the country.
They've been kidnapped and murdered,
right,
and things like that. And now President Aristide, you know, has been back in Haiti for a while. Mm-hmm. He started a medical school and a law school. And the medical school has been producing doctors for them. So those are the kind of helpful things they can do themselves.
Right. Giving them the tools.
I went down there and gave some lectures in the medicals in their law school.
Uh-huh. So, how was that?
It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're smart people everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just here. Yeah.
Was there ever a time in Haiti where it was working right? Ever? I mean, you look at the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
And then you look at the other side of the island.
Well, a lot of the problems has to do with the reparations. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of building some endowments where you can create the necessary ingredients for a life of dignity. Mm-hmm. They had to pay back all these freaking, you know, debts that they owed mm-hmm. at usurious interest rates. And they never paid back the debts until the early 1950s, at which point Papa Doc took over, you know, and we supported him with billions of dollars of aid mm-hmm. under the fear that he told the United States, I'll keep the commies out of here. You remember the old domino theories and
right.
they believed them. And then he used all the funds as personal bank accounts. You know, to give you an example, we found out that he had a lot of accounts in Swiss banks mm-hmm. and we could never get money out of them. We couldn't find the accounts.
Right.
I tried with a couple of other lawyers and we had some Swiss lawyers, couldn't find a cent. But we did sue the Trump Organization. Because we found out he bought a couple of condos in Trump Towers and the money was given back to the Haitian government.
Uh-huh.
Like that was
and lot. Then Baby Doc was just as.
We spent years compiling information on all his crimes mm-hmm. and he came back to Haiti and we're going to file a lawsuit and the guy dies on us of all luck.
How rude.
Yes, I know.
Anything in closing? Hope for Haiti?
I have hope for the Haitian people. I believe in their integrity and their intelligence and their good intentions mm-hmm. from my experiences.
Right. Well, good. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. See you around.
Thanks for joining us for The Explainer and a whole new season of Explaining. If you enjoy our show, leave us a 5-star review with your podcast provider and ask your friends to subscribe. Our show is engineered and edited by Christopher Alzadi with theme music composed by Rady Kim from the Frost School of Music. I'm your host, Annette Ugas. Today's show was brought to you by Miami Law's Master of Legal Studies, a degree for those who work every day in legal compliance, risk management, and in and around lawyers. For more information, visit www.law.miami.edu.